All right. There is a propriety in God's kingdom. There is a propriety. God is not the God of confusion. Christ is not divided. I was talking with a friend earlier this morning. And, you know, the Lord has really in my heart driven this point home. That we have become a people that have no respect for propriety or modesty. We have become a people who have no respect of order. We have become a people who are devoid of the knowledge that God would place in us and the discipline that He would place in us through seeking His face. And this is because the body of Christ in mass is not seeking God's face. They're asking each other. This is what we've got. A lot of people realize something's wrong. Oh, bless God. They look around and they realize something is wrong. And they're not quite sure what it is. And they're turning around and they're asking each other. It's like a bunch of us are in this big room and we're turning around and asking each other, what's wrong? Why isn't this working? What can we do to fix it? You know what? And those are the wrong people to ask and the wrong question to ask. But that's the way man looks at things. We know something's wrong. What do we do to fix it? How do we fix this? That's the arrogance of man. I want you to really think about it. They know something's wrong, but they won't ask God, what is it, Lord, that's wrong? They ask each other. What is it that's wrong? Can you fix this? Do you know what's wrong? Do you know where we're at? What's going on? How do we fix this? Well, I have an idea. Well, I have this idea, and your idea doesn't agree with my idea. So we're going to have to settle this fight before we ever get to fixing it. No, well, I think this is what's really wrong, and this is how to fix it. Well, I think this is what's wrong, and this is how to fix it. Everybody can agree that there's something wrong. And everybody can agree that something needs to be done. But nobody's doing it. Nobody has the power to do it. And guess what? They can't even agree on what's wrong. This is the arrogance of man. When we realize something is wrong, that's the time when so many of us who do realize that something's wrong, we should have all dropped to our knees right then, together, and asked God together. Treat Him like the real person He is. What's wrong, God? Where are we missing it? Why are things so out of whack? That's what should have happened. But as it is, people are asking the wrong people, as what it is wrong, and they're thinking that they have an answer in themselves to fix it. Only God can tell us what's wrong, and only God can help us fix it. Let me tell you what the Lord has shown me here just in this past night. There is no respect for His order. There is no respect for His moving. Chaos results when there is no respect for propriety and order and discipline. And that is because people are rebels. The Word is no longer the mainstay of Christianity. It's chaos. And those who claim to make the Word the mainstay of Christianity subject the Word to their own private interpretation. They don't submit it to God to find out what it means. They've assumed what it means. This is where we're at. I want to show you the big difference between what the early church was and where we're at now. Now, I'm not going to get on the bandwagon of, oh, well, we need to go back to the early church. No, we don't. We can't. It's like trying to put the stuff back in the sock. It's like trying to go back to the Garden of Eden. It is impossible for us to go back in time. We're not going to go back there and wear robes and sandals and carry sticks, you know, and go to Jerusalem and talk to James the Apostle. It's not going to work. We can't go back. What we can do is turn to God, because He's the same God that was there. There's no way that we of ourselves can go back to the propriety of the early church. God has to bring that propriety to us. There's no way that we as a people can just choose to go back to the discipline of the early church. God has to bring that discipline to us. It starts with us submitting corporately and individually to God, to give His word place. But let's examine this problem. And the Lord has shown me that there is no respect for His order, for His discipline, for His word, for propriety, for modesty. These things are gone. This is what mars the picture of the church, because it looks just like the world. What we should look back at the early church to see is the way that order prevailed. They had a structure that God instituted, not men. One of the reasons we're failing is as we have tried to copy that structure and come up with our own. It isn't God that has instituted the bishops. It isn't God that's instituted people who call themselves prophets. It isn't God who's instituted people who are referring themselves now as apostles in these various denominations and so forth. It isn't God who's instituted their presbytery. It is not God who's instituted their leadership. They're all hirelings and they're all worthless. They've instituted their own organizations and their own ideas themselves and left God out of it, but stamped God's name on it because of the credibility it brings. God has to institute it. God has to appoint His leadership and His authority. And that's what the early church had. There was discipline, propriety, and modesty and order in the early church, because the authority was God invested. It was Him who sent the apostles. It was Him who sent the prophets. It was Him who called the pastors. It was Him who placed them there by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the people submitted themselves to that. They submitted themselves to the Scripture. They submitted themselves to the Word and the authority of the apostles. There is none of that today. Can you see where this is going? I want to give you an example. I want you to look at the conservative way the church operated then and what we have now. And I just read this here a little earlier. I want you to listen close to this, because this is a perfect example of what's going on now. In chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians 14, we see that there's order in worship. What shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time. Well, let's not just set down rules. Where's Paul's getting these rules? You see, everything we do with understanding. God meant it to be done with understanding. But how do we see this done in the churches that believe in tongues? And thank God that there are still some who do believe in tongues and prophecy. Do they do it this way? And for the strengthening of the church? Do they do it where two at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret? No. They don't. It's just any old way it comes out. Just any old way. Just any old way. Somebody gets in the mood out there in the congregation, they just stand up and start babbling. And 9 times out of 10, they'll interpret it themselves because there is no interpreter in the church. A lot of churches just get up there and babble a whole bunch of people at one time. It's complete confusion. When God's not the order of chaos, the author of chaos. Why 2 or 3 at the most? Let everything, it's a rule, the testimony of 2 is true, says the law. Let everything be established out of the mouths of 2 or 3 witnesses. Why is this? There is the physical witness, the spiritual witness, and together, you know, together the physical and spiritual are a living soul. A man and a woman, remember that picture? The man is a picture of the spirit, the woman's a picture of the body, and the two cleave together and become one flesh. Two together and a third by the joining of 2 together. And this is why everything must be established out of the mouths of 2 or 3 witnesses, because it represents body, spirit, and soul. It represents Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, 3 testifying together as one. Everything must be done this way, according to God's pattern. God has instituted the pattern, and when we leave God's pattern, we leave His blessings. We do not submit to the Word. The apostle didn't just make this up because he thought it was a good orderly way to do it. He followed a pattern that was given to him by God. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church, and if anyone speaks in a tongue, 2 or at the most 3 should speak, 1 at a time, and someone must interpret. And if there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Without an interpreter, as Paul said, nobody is edified except the person who's getting the tongue. So he should do it under his breath. He should speak to himself and God, so he doesn't upset the rest of the church. God has an order. He has a pattern. Paul didn't make this up because Paul was a wise man. Paul was a wise man who listened to God and followed his pattern. Paul was a man. Remember, he was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law. But he didn't understand it. Not until Jesus knocked him off his horse. Not until he met Christ. And all of a sudden, all that dead law inside him became living water. It was Scripture. And through the understanding, the spiritual understanding of that, through the revelation of Christ, he was able to set up the rules that we use for discipline to this day, for the church. Order, discipline, propriety, worship. It followed a pattern that God had given him. As Moses was told, when he, and you can read it in Hebrews, and you can read it in Exodus and Numbers, when Moses was told to build the tabernacle, he was told exactly how to build it. When he was told to orchestrate the worship and to name the priests and so forth, there was a pattern. And he was told, Moses, be careful to follow the pattern, because it had meaning. God's order, God's pattern. Paul followed the same pattern, what God had revealed to him through the law. So the pattern that Paul set up wasn't just the way Paul decided the church should be run. It wasn't just because it was Paul's concept of decent and order. It's because God had a pattern. And an apostle is one who walks after God. Two or three prophets, again, out of the mouths of 2 or 3 witnesses, let everything be established. 2 or 3 prophets should speak, and the other should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop, for you can all prophesy in turn. What's that about? You see the order? Remember, Paul's following a pattern given to him by God. He's not doing his own idea. Two or three at the most should speak. That's because in God's pattern, let the physical testify, let the spiritual testify, and let them testify together as one. Just like a body is spirit, and together they're a living soul. Let everything be established out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, and this is why we have this. It's God's pattern. And he said, if the first pot, you know, everything should be weighed by the other prophets. That way, one lone person doesn't get up there and prophesy to the whole church something wrong. Because there's two other prophets there that hear from the Lord too, and they're going to say, no, that's not from God. Prophecy shouldn't be used in the church unless you can follow this pattern. Because then you don't know whether it's really from God. You have to take someone's word for it. Let everything, not one lone voice. There is no lone ranger in church. Let everything be established out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. And it says if one gets something that's sitting down, then the one that's speaking should shut up and let the one... Why? Why? If one is speaking and one that's sitting down gets something from the Lord, he should stand up and the other must sit down. Why? In the middle, wherever he's at. It's to show that it's the same Lord speaking and it's not dependent on any man. You get one message from three people. See how it works? One message from three people to show that it is of the Spirit of God. And the testimony of those two or three witnesses make it real, don't they? You can tell what's from God. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. God doesn't just take you over and you have no choice. You do have a choice. If God gives you something, you can express it when. When. It fits in, doesn't it? You don't just have to stand up and blurt it out at that moment. You have control. For God is not the God of disorder, but of peace. Church isn't the place you just stand and blurt things out. You follow God's pattern and order so that everything may be done decently in order. Now, do churches do this? Can you think of a single church you've ever been to that does it this way? Probably not. I'm not saying there isn't one out there, but probably not. Because men have went away from the pattern of God. And we wonder why we don't have the gifts in operation. And we wonder why we don't have the blessings of God. They have completely left propriety. They've wandered off into confusion and men's arguments and divisions. As in all the congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. They're not allowed to speak, but must be in submission as the law says. And if they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home. For it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. So it tells us here that women should remain silent in the church. That it is disgraceful for a woman to speak. Now, let's look at this. Did this change with the times? Is this a fashion? Or have we gotten away from the truth? And why should a woman? You know, we understood from God's pattern why two or three at the most should speak. That everything may be established out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. The testimony of two is true from the law. We understand that there's a pattern. So why is it that women should remain quiet? It goes back to what it means. Women are a picture of the body. Men are a picture of the spirit. Men are to have headship. You see it between Christ and the church, don't you? That we're as a church, as the church, we are submitted to our head, Christ, or should be. Not rebelling against Him. Learning in silence before Him through the Spirit. You can't learn when you're talking. Can you? Aren't we to be in submission to our head? Isn't Christ our husband? Well, so, isn't this done in the church to represent that? That here the Spirit speaks. In the church, that's God's order. That's God's pattern. The Spirit speaks here. The flesh is to be in submission and silent. It's the Spirit who teaches, not the flesh. The flesh must be under submission. And so aren't women to remain silent in the churches and not allowed to speak to represent this? They must be in submission as the law says. Not that we're following a law, but we're following a pattern. It means something. If they want to inquire something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Wow! Is that true today? Or have we left the pattern of God? This is the New Testament. Now, you're going to hear people who want to water it down. They want to change. They will not submit themselves to God's Word. They want to change what God's Word means. Well, this was a situation in the Corinthian church where women were yelling across to the men, and it was really, you know, not conducive to a good service, so Paul laid down that, no. It's not what it says. As in all the congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. All of them. And that doesn't just mean the one in the past, but the ones in the present, because this is the New Testament. And now let's go on and listen to what Paul says. They're not allowed to speak, but must be in submission as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Did the Word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people it has reached? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I'm writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. It's the Lord's command that women remain silent in the church, that prophets speak two or three at a time, that tongues should not be used without an interpretation, and then two or three at a time, when it is an interpretation. This is propriety. This is discipline. This is order. This is God's pattern. Who's the one we worship? Who are we worshiping? We're worshiping God. Who is first among us? God must be first. Whose pattern should we do it by? Ours or God's? You judge. Can you please God without faith? Can you deviate from His pattern and still claim you have faith? Who's being worshipped here? How can we worship Him in the Spirit and in truth if we ignore Him and His pattern? If we won't submit to His Word. If He ignores this, He Himself will be ignored. What I'm writing you is the Lord's commandment. You see? Now, how are we ever going to return to this propriety? Is it going to be by forcing people? By hitting them over the head? By holding their nose down to the Scripture, you know, with a big vice grip so they can see what it says? No. It's going to take the people of God who really do see to come together and humble themselves before God first and pray together and seek God. Seek God together. So that when we do speak the truth, God will back it up. And He'll do it according to His pattern, with signs and with wonders. When we really get it in our hearts that we want to uplift the Lord and not please ourselves. When we really get it in our heart that we must submit to Him and His Word, and even submit our thinking, that we must come together and vow to know nothing among us but Christ and Him crucified, and let Him speak clearly to us. And it's His promise He will restore us leaders. He will restore us leaders. He will give us His own children. He will give us apostles and prophets and people of authority. They will come out from among us. They won't be hirelings anymore. He will establish His leadership. Remember in Luke where it says that Jesus, before he appointed his apostles, he went up all night on the mountain and prayed. And when he came down in the morning, he appointed his 12. God has told me that that's his promise. He will do the same thing. If we, like Jesus, as a collective body, will go to God's mountain together and seek his face, he will appoint his leadership. And then we will have authority in the body, recognized because God put it there. And then we will have propriety. And then we will have discipline. And there we will have modesty. There we will have the pattern of God restored that we can walk according to it in faith. And therefore be a church that God says, in her I am well pleased. Look around. You have a choice. Remain in chaos, trusting what men tell you, bouncing like a pinball between organizations, or corporately and individually let us go to God and submit and let him be first among us again as it should be. This is a message the church needs to hear if they really want to see the reality of God return to his people. This is what the last days church is based on. Guarantee you. And it will happen.